Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and my Alpha Dog team is really coming together.
Doug, you guys, we have a curing period in Colorado to get the signatures that the Secretary of State's office will disqualify, and we've got a dozen teams. My team has been renamed Metro West.
I'm staying with the Alpha Dogs.
Alpha Dogs?
Alpha Dogs, and South Metro.
Doug, my team is coming together. We've got people committing to 50 signatures, 125.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah, I've got 20 team members so far.
Wow.
And we're sending out petitions this week.
I have about 9 team members. And my team has made a commitment to 2,000 signatures, so we'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling through the list. Yeah. Maybe somebody in the audience will call up and join. I've been busy this weekend,
it's
Doug.
Believe it or not. I know, myself as well, and we've been trying to get in touch with everyone. But if you want to join the Alpha Dogs, or what was the name of your team?
Metro West. SWAT team, signature SWAT team.
The signature SWAT team, the spiritual wisdom and tactics team.
You could call Personhood Colorado, or you could call Bob Inyart Live, because we also have a telethon going.
We do have a telethon going. Do we have updated numbers?
Almost $10,000. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836.
Okay. So add 600. Oh, I'm sorry.
9278.
That's
1-800-836-9278. That's right.
Call right now to be on the SWAT team. Call right now to help put us up. We are over 10,000. I can tell you we can add.
We're over $10,000 on our goal.
Let's see here. I'm trying to
$40,000. We're 25% of the way there, and boy, do we need help.
Boy, we need a lot of help because, let's face it, the telethon has received short shrift because we've been working on...
On personhood all over the country, praise God.
It's the heat of the battle right now.
And speaking of heat, we're working on global warming, too.
Oh, yeah, we got some...
Because we've got news stories we should do.
We should.
It's hard to pass up the global warming stories because it's red meat.
Yeah.
It's just red meat.
You can't help it.
It's so funny to see liberals squirming. NPR had the most absurd segment yesterday,
really?
Doug. They spoke to an expert, a university professor, an expert on communication.
Uh-huh.
And they said, why is it that the global warming message is not getting out there? Why is it that it was just hysterical that they have to do this? And one reason might be because the world's leading global warming prophet said it stopped global warming 15 years ago.
So that might be one reason. It seems to me that in the field of global warming, the only way one could be an expert is if you used to be a spurt.
Yeah,
because
right.
It definitely doesn't mean that you know what you're talking about.
And with
you
climate,
just used to be a spurt.
There are a lot of spurts with climate.
A
global warming expert is a former spurt.
Yeah, now the latest retraction comes out, and it regards the rising sea levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're retracting everything.
There was a published article in Geoscience.
But how about this one? Tell me about this. This is an article in Nature Geoscience.
Yeah.
And so what are they retracting?
Well, they're retracting the prediction that the sea levels would rise 18 to 59 centimeters by 2100.
So a centimeter is a little more than an inch.
A little less than an inch. Yeah. So, we're talking 6 to 20 inches here.
All right. So they're saying that their claim that sea levels would rise by this much is not true.
They're just not sure because the data they relied on, they said they made a mistake. One, the first mistake they made was miscalculation, and the other was not allowing fully for temperature change that has actually occurred over the last 2,000 years. And so, anyway, but...
So, in other words, their calculations were all messed up, and they're saying, but this is a normal part of publishing.
That's what they say, retraction.
Retraction is a normal part of publishing. That's what they say in this article here.
So it's a regular part of the publication process,
and
a
Doug,
spokesman said.
That cracks me up, just like the world's leading global warming expert, Phil Jones.
Yeah.
Punxsutawney Phil Jones. Yeah. He says his hockey stick data is missing. Really, that's just a normal part of publishing.
That happens all the time. I'm still shuffling through my papers to try to find it.
That your data goes missing. Yeah. And here on Bob Inyart Live, we found the hockey stick missing data. It was on NHL.com.
That's right. You can go there and see the hockey stick.
You could. And this is the same guy who said, Phil Jones, that global warming stopped 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That there may have been past periods of warming. He admitted it.
It's big.
I know it's big for him. I mean, there was an ice age that ended.
Right.
So what? That ended without any warming?
There had to be some warming associated with that.
Yeah. And now, separately, the top UN official, global warming official, is resigning.
He's out. He wants to salvage what's left of his career.
It's falling apart for these guys. And where is Al Gore all this time? Stephen Hawking are working on a lunar launch to fight global warming.
You know who I feel sorriest for in this, though?
Who?
Are the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of college students out there who are suddenly waking up to the reality that they've bought into one of the biggest scams in
history.
They've
been lied. They have a global warming syndrome where young people are afraid to wash their hands with hot water because they'll harm the planet.
And all of these college students have been working tirelessly to fight global warming, and now they find out that it was all for naught.
Yeah,
it was just a big scam.
It's hysterical.
It's got to be a crisis in one's life to learn that what you've been fighting for and working for is completely off target.
When God's word says, don't fear, Genesis chapter 9, that there will be spring and autumn, winter and summer for as long as the earth remains.
I believe him.
I believe him.
I believe him when he says that.
I believe him.
He's sincere. So Phil Jones.
God said it. That settles it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, the liberals won't give up on global warming. So every day that there's a global warming story, we will report it.
Even
right
though it's low-hanging fruit, it's red meat, it's funny.
Yeah.
We should cover it.
Yeah, we have to.
Because we've been doing it for 20 years on this show.
That's right.
Saying global warming is caused by the sun.
Right. I experience it every morning.
Yeah. And if... when Mars heated up, which it did, it was not from SUVs. There are only two on the whole planet.
Back then? When was that?
Well, there are two SUVs on the planet, those Mars rovers.
On Mars!
On Mars. There are two rovers on Mars,
right.
And they did not cause the global warming on Mars. It was from the sun.
No, yeah, those are low-emission vehicles.
Sunspots, things like that.
All right. Now, an update on the telethon. We've got the numbers in.
Yeah.
We are at $10,635.
Whoa, $10,635.
But today is the 22nd, leaving us only 6 days left.
February.
In the month of February.
I
may lobby for the telethon to be extended.
Oh, that would kill us all.
We can't, yeah.
That would kill us all, but BEL is not funded with any...
Here's the thing.
There's no mega ministry keeping us on the air.
And you have the choice of being killed by having to do the telethon or actual bankruptcy, which would really kill us.
That would kill the show.
And it's not... There's no miraculous power. Like you say, there's no big ministry funding us. So bankruptcy is always an option around here, folks.
Now, don't we have a huge foundation that's provided for the next 20 years of BEL airtime?
Well, we have lobbied with George Soros, but we have not heard back.
No, and Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
I used to work for the guy.
Yeah,
had dinner in his living room.
Yeah.
He hasn't donated not a dollar to our airtime bill.
Okay, let's get a memo off to Mr. Gates.
He's a liberal. He's a pro-homo, pro-abortion, pro-evolution.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We could send him a memo, and could we mention some of the issues with Windows 7, or maybe that's for a separate memo?
Oh, no.
That's a whole separate memo.
I think we should include them in there. All right.
All right. What's next? There's a lot of news. There's news about tax protesters.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that because, you know, we're right-wing Christians.
We are.
And on every wing, there are those who are out on the tip of the wing.
Well, and, you know, speaking of the wing, the tax protest community was highlighted last week. When Mr. Stack...
Great tragedy.
He crashed his plane into the IRS office. I don't think we've talked about it yet.
No, we haven't. He did this intentionally. He was inspired by Al-Qaeda, apparently. Real tragic.
Yeah, I don't think he was inspired by Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think he was.
Well,
flying your plane into your enemy's building.
Well, here's the question. Now, there's been a great debate amongst the chattering class, the journalism graduates, about whether or not this should be called terrorism or not.
Yeah, it's a form of domestic terrorism.
Yeah, I think when you fly a plane into a building, that terrorizes people.
Yeah, and when you're trying to affect public policy by killing people, violence, when your goal is you want money, you break into a bank, you kill people, you rob the bank, that's not terrorism. That's your standard crime.
Yeah, that's just a run-of-the-mill, old-fashioned crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're trying to change public policy domestic policy or foreign policy, then that's terrorism, international terrorism, domestic terrorism.
Right. So this is not linked to Muslim fundamentalist terrorism in any way.
No.
Except that he got the idea of
crashing his plane
into the building.
Al-Qaeda inspired him.
Yeah. So anyway.
Which is sad.
This fellow, apparently, his name is Joe Stack.
Criminals, Doug, have a toolbox.
Yeah.
And people, murderers are poor problem solvers, people who get frustrated and lack self-control.
Right.
And they have a toolbox, and they pull out of their toolbox. And so when they see other people commit crimes, you have copycat criminals. And when suicide, the stigma's gone, then you have kamikazes, and you have jihadists.
Right.
And you have criminals, murder, suicide, so it's... It's easy to understand what's happening.
Yeah, and
it's
tragic. It's epidemic proportions.
Yeah.
So Joe Stack, apparently he's been fighting the tax man since shortly after he got out of college because he was a software engineer.
Right, right.
An independent businessman, small business owner.
Right.
And he was apparently part of certain groups of back in the 70s and 80s. What they would do is they would claim that the IRS is corrupt.
Yeah.
Which, so they start out with somewhat of a valid complaint.
Yeah. Yeah, right. The IRS enforces all these regulations on everyone except for the IRS.
Uh-huh.
The thousands of IRS workers, when they use their vehicles, they don't have to keep track of their miles.
Totally.
They don't have to do the reporting that all the rest of us do.
Mm-hmm.
It is fundamentally criminal. And they assume that you're guilty and you have to prove that you're innocent. There are all kinds of problems with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, take that for granted.
Well, Joe Stack and his friends out in California in the 70s and 80s, one thing they really hated was the fact that churches received tax exemptions while their small businesses did not.
Mm.
And so what they would do is they would set up churches and
then
they would operate their business
as
their
a for-profit
church. Business under the 501c3 exemption.
So one way of fixing this, I'm in favor of doing away with tax exemption for churches and nonprofits. Just do away with it so that they can't intimidate tens of thousands of pastors who are afraid to speak out the things God would have them say they're afraid to because they care more about their 501c3 tax exemption.
Absolutely.
Which is a great tragedy.
Now this
yes, the gag rule.
The removal of the exemption, of course, would have to be coupled with a dramatic reduction in tax rates so that people could be charitable.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, we should have a flat tax of 5%. But yeah, all for it.
All for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this fellow, Joe Stack, he couldn't give up. Most of the hippie types, they gave up fighting the IRS. You know, they gave it up and they knuckled under, like all of us.
Yeah, right.
You
work hard, and then you have a wife, and you have a mortgage and
some
a house
kids,
and some kids.
Yeah.
If you're going to fight the tax fight, if that's going to be your primary, you know, focus in your life, usually you end up losing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, I know guys who are tax resistors who they say you don't have to pay your income tax because it wasn't properly ratified.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if it's properly ratified or not when they throw you in jail.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I know guys who've lost their wife, lost their home, lost their business, and they say if you use all capital letters when you sign your name, they can't tax you.
Leave out your middle initial.
Don't put your middle initial. Don't have a driver's license. If you don't get a Social Security number.
Right.
If you don't get a marriage license, then they have the sin tax.
Syntax.
They hit you with the syntax.
They hit you with...
But anyway, it's worth it to fight a battle over right and wrong.
Yes.
And kids are being killed. We should prioritize that as our top moral battle of our age. But it's a lot of these battles, they focus on minutiae.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I suggest they reprioritize their life.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's too late for Joe Stack. But for other folks out there in the audience who may be considering resisting the tax man, just be wise in what you do.
Yeah.
And don't go
Certainly
don't go off limits.
I agree.
All right, so we're going to go to the phones.
Oh, that sounds good. 800-8-NYART, 1-800. This is for the telethon or to join the Bob Enyart's Metro West signature SWAT team.
Yeah.
800-836-9278. Who's on the line?
Let's start out in Los Angeles, California. Dave, speak your mind.
Doug, hello, Bob and Doug. Hello from Los Angeles.
Hi, Dave.
Dave.
I watched some of the CPAC convention over the weekend.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I know that it probably made you both happy that Ron Paul was voted number one in the straw poll.
Well, wait a second. Well, it made us more happy that Mitt Romney was not voted number one.
Oh, yeah, Dave. The way I'd put that is that for 3 years running, Mitt Romney has won the CPAC, the conservative deal.
Yeah.
Their straw poll, thousands of conservatives voting at a convention. And so we published the Mitt Romney profile back in the fall.
That's right.
And Doug, we predicted, have we or have we not predicted on this very show repeatedly, that the age of Mitt Romney's overwhelming Christian endorsements, that that age is over?
Dave, you listen to the show. Can you confirm or deny that that has taken place?
You put a huge dent with those commercials.
Whoa.
Still popular on YouTube.
Those commercials, the Romney fairy tale commercials, ran statewide in the early contest states of Iowa, South Carolina,
yeah,
major effort in Florida, all before Super Tuesday. Romney was done for, Doug. This is all from American Right to Life. And the New York Times did an article about Romney's campaign collapsing, and on top of the article was the logo of American Right to Life.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. ABC, Fox News, others ran our Romney TV commercials, and then we published the profile, had the documented case that Romney is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage, anti-Christian family, and we predicted that the age of Romney's major Christian endorsements is over. So what happens on CPAC on Saturday? He loses for the first time in 4 years.
Yeah. Now, Dave, what was your overall take on the CPAC events? How much did you get to watch? What did you think?
Well, I watched some of it. I saw Glenn Beck speak, and, you know, somebody needs to tell him that we need a kingdom. I mean, it would. He has too much reliance on the good of the American people to bring us back to a moral state.
That's a secular humanist worldview, that the people are basically good. That's the fundamental difference between the right and the left, Doug, mm-hmm, is the fall, the biblical revelation that God made us and we've rebelled against him and people are basically not good.
Yeah.
People are basically sinners, and when you get a bunch together in a democracy in a committee, they shout, crucify him, crucify him. So all these conservative talk show hosts that they flatter the American people.
Right.
And we did a Bible study last night, Sunday night, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, I did not flatter you.
Mm.
Glenn Beck should read that chapter.
Well, and here's the thing about Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is hitting all around the bullseye with so many things he says.
So many great points.
I can't help but believe that if he had a solid biblical foundation, that Glenn Beck could be a great leader.
He'd be powerful, but he buys into secular humanism, that the people, yeah, are basically good, and also that our solution lies in the Constitution. Mm. That's not true. The Constitution is not inspired by God. Article 1 counted most black people as three-fifths of a person. The Constitution has contradictions with basic principles of governance, and the Constitution is not our salvation.
Right.
It's not. It's a reality. We deal with it, but it's not our salvation.
Mm. Good point. Well made.
Dave, anything else?
I just wanted to mention one of what I consider the most underrated videos in your library.
All right, tell us.
Live from Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Live from Las Vegas, it's Bob and Yer.
And what I'd like to do is, when I hang up, I'm going to go to kgov.com and donate $50.
Oh.
The next person that calls and says, I want Live from Las Vegas, please send them that video, compliments of me.
So you'll send a video to a caller. You'll send them Live from Las Vegas. That's a fun video.
Oh, it's a classic.
And it's great for witnessing. It's great for at a convention-type setting and a marketplace-type setting on how to very eloquently talk to the unbelievers.
Yeah, it's really powerful stuff. And it was all done without any writers. It was all done extemporaneously.
That's right. We were in Las Vegas, you know, at the famous sign, Welcome to Las Vegas, and we're on the
fabulous
Strip.
Las Vegas.
And we're at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and we're debating people, and there's a $100 bill taped to their microphone. If you win a 3-minute debate with Bob Enyart, you get $100. And we had the topics. There were 25 different topics. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to the $100?
We kept it.
You left Vegas with $100. That's
How often do you bet $100 in Vegas 20 times over?
And go home with it.
And go home with $100.
That does not happen very often.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you, Dave.
Dave, thank you. So there, Dave, God bless you out there in Los Angeles.
All right.
Thank you very much.
God bless you both. And from the New Orleans fans, Who dat?
Who dat? Who dat? Now?
Who dat?
So Dave is donating $50. Anyone in the audience who's now heard about Live from Las Vegas and you want it, Dave is offering to buy it for you. Call in 1-800-836-9278. Ask 1-800, for Live from Las Vegas.
1-800-836-9278. Jesus said we should pay our taxes. He said, whose face is on that coin? Caesar's.
He said Caesar's.
Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God. Right?
Yes, that's what he said.
But that doesn't mean the government has the right to tax us at 50%, which is what they're doing.
No, they don't have the right to steal our money at gunpoint.
Right. So they are stealing.
They are stealing.
And so we should do what we can.
Be wise.
To minimize tax avoidance.
Take advantage of every avenue you have to save money that you have to pay in taxes.
Yeah, be wise and choose your battles wisely.
Right, right. You know, oddly enough, I don't know if you want to get into this. I had a fellow Christian bring up that very verse, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God's what is God's. He brought up that very verse to question whether or not Christians dedicating themselves to the personhood battle to change politics, if maybe we're off track.
We're rendering
unto Caesar what we should be rendering unto God. That's our time and our efforts.
Because God doesn't care if a child is having his arms and legs ripped off.
Well, wait a second.
To be sacrificed, God doesn't care.
No, I think God does care. In fact, I think there's scripture.
If he's right, Doug... I get. If he's right, God doesn't care if parents kill their children. God says to Christians, don't worry if your neighbors are killing their children. God doesn't care about the judges and the presidents and the mayors and the legislators who say it's okay to kill your kids. God doesn't care about their sin or their cruelty or their wickedness.
Well,
He just doesn't care. He just wants us to tithe and go to Sunday school.
Right. Well, do you think it's unreasonable to assert that quite often...
Sorry, what was that?
That quite often political issues are moral issues.
Are moral issues.
Yeah, now, you know, whether or not you want to regulate...
The guy who said you don't legislate morality, he's dead.
He's dead. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I responded and I said, look, if the Christians... We're the Christians. We have the answers. It's all in this book. We have a relationship with the creator of the universe who gave the law that has inspired every law that forms politics.
Right.
If we don't speak up, who's going to speak up?
So what he's really looking for is a Christianity that justifies apathy.
That's what I'm afraid of. I hope
comfort.
That's not the case.
Well, you know, maybe he's just wondering and questioning. But if he's digging in on this issue.
Well, we're going to find out because he's a pastor and he's in Colorado. And he said, look, I signed the petition. I signed the personhood petition, but I don't feel I have a responsibility to circulate it.
And if he was in Germany, if he pastored a church in Germany, a Lutheran church, and he had somebody in his church like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Bonhoeffer calls him and says, we have to stand up against the National Socialists. Don't you know they hate the Jews? They want to arrest the Jews?
Yeah.
And he says, you know, that's not my calling. My calling is to teach Sunday school and take the collection.
Well, can't you do that too? right?
Yeah, right.
Stand up with Dietrich in between Sunday school.
If you don't love your neighbor enough to warn them, don't kill Jewish people, don't arrest the Jews. If you don't love them enough to do that, then that apathy, you hate your neighbor.
Yeah.
You hate your neighbor. And God, Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. These are the top two concerns that God has for us.
Amen. And I didn't, this fellow's a pastor. I told him, I said, look, it's not necessary for you to go out in the street and circulate the petition. But I said, I think as a pastor, you have just a couple of obligations. One, to sign the petition. And two, to give your congregation publicly an opportunity to do the same. And I said, if you did that, you're good.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you're unqualified. Yeah, you should be removed.
Yeah, you got to be part of the battle to stop the killing of Jews, the lynching of blacks, the dismembering of babies. If you're not part of that battle... then you're in the way.
And you can do that without forsaking your obligations to the church and to teaching the gospel and studying
the preaching
scriptures.
Of the gospel will become so much more effective when people see that you are a real Christian. You're a Bible kind of Christian.
Yeah.
People say, I wish I lived in the Bible days. These are the Bible days.
That's right.
You just have to get with the program.
I have not yet heard back from the pastor, but I think that he... I think that he did what he needed to do, and I think he's been questioned maybe by some people who think he's not doing enough. Mm. And we don't want to be legalistic, but we want people to realize what our what our priorities need to be as Christians.
Right. That's right.
Anyway.
All right. Any other news?
Well, marijuana use is up amongst the 55 to 59-year-old, the retirees, because all the hippies are retiring, Bob. They're now grandma
the hippies,
and grandpa.
The hippies are
the hippies are
grandparents.
Retiring. And so they're apparently... They're answering polls now, now that medical marijuana is all the rage.
Right.
Apparently, there's been a dramatic rise in the 55 to 59-year-old demographic. Marijuana use more than tripled.
Of people who now admit that they still smoke pot.
That's what the article says.
They're getting confident.
The article actually says that many of the hippies left aside their marijuana use, and now they're returning to it
in retirement. This is an Associated Press article. And I don't know about the left aside part.
I don't know about that either.
No.
Anyway, so that's not really big news.
No.
But have you been following the collapse of Great Britain?
In what way?
Well, it's almost unavoidable to notice. But now there's a group in Britain called the Equality and Human Rights Commission, and they want to pass legislation making it illegal to require pupils to wear gender-specific clothing.
So in other words, girls, it's a lot of schools, they have uniforms. The girls wear skirts and the boys wear slacks.
Yes. Yes. Right. Now, what struck me about this article was...
And I'm all for keeping them all home and homeschooling them.
Yeah,
they could wear pajamas.
Me too. Well, what struck me about the article was the term gender-specific clothing. Because we used to just call it clothing. And it went without saying that it was gender-specific.
Yeah, boys would wear boys' clothes and girls would wear girls' clothes.
And we could just call them clothes. Like, let's go get the kids some clothes, and your wife automatically
You wouldn't have
knows.
To say, well, are we going to get them gender-specific clothes? Yeah, you'd skip that stuff.
Well, anyway, this group, the Equality and Human Rights Commission, they say requiring pupils in the schools to wear gender-specific clothing is potentially unlawful.
Oh, brother.
Potentially unlawful, they say.
Why? Why would it be unlawful to require girls to wear skirts if you have, say, a private school and you have uniforms?
Okay. Well, here's why. Because pupils with gender dysphoria experience great discomfort at being forced to wear stereotypically gender-specific
clothing.
What
if pupils experience discomfort at being called pupils?
I never liked that word.
I mean, how about that right there?
Now,
oh, brother.
Just to hammer this home, listen to the title of the commission's official guide. It's entitled Provision of Goods, Facilities, and Services to Trans People, Guidance for Public Authorities in Meeting Your Equality Duties and Human Rights Obligations.
What, that's the title of the guide?
That's the title.
You know, left-wing things, it doesn't matter what they are, they have long titles.
They do.
Even if they're countries.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Real names of countries
like America.
America, that's a noble name.
Yeah.
But the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
You have to take a breath after trying to
get it's just left-wing to describe, just what's the name? Name of it.
Yeah.
This is typical.
Be suspicious of these leftist governments.
So that's for transsexuals, not transvestites.
What's a transvestite?
It's a guy who wears a vest tight. That's how you remember the difference.
Okay.
Transsexual is the operation.
Thank you for that.
All right. God bless you guys.